Welcome to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Utility companies are shutting down some of their older, less efficient coal-burning power plants. To generate electricity to replace those old plants, utilities have to decide whether to go and build another coal-fired plant or go with natural gas, nuclear, renewable energy, or some combination of all those. Recently, DTE Energy decided it would replace some older coal-burning plants, primarily with a natural gas-burning plant, with a little additional renewable energy. Six other natural gas power plants are planned by utilities around the state. Environmentalists have criticized the decision and state regulators' approval of the DTE plant. They think the plant is an expense that ratepayers should not have to bear when renewable energy continues to decrease in cost. Here to talk about some of this is Sarah Mills. She's a senior project manager at the University of Michigan Center for Local, State, and Urban Policy. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We know that natural gas is cheaper now due to the extraction method of the horizontal hydraulic fracturing, or most people call it fracking. That's got its own set of environmental concerns. But natural gas has a lower rate of greenhouse gas emissions than coal. So why aren't environmentalists celebrating?
It's true that it does have a lower rate of greenhouse gas emissions than coal, but it still does produce greenhouse gas emissions. And it's not just from burning it, but it's also from the process of producing it. In that production, it actually leaks methane, which is a more potent
greenhouse gas, yeah, right?
Exactly. The other reason that environmentalists are concerned is that when you build a brand new natural gas plant, that plant has a life of 50 to 60 years. And so, especially if it's a big new plant, you're locking yourself into using that fossil fuel source for the next 50 to 60 years. I think most pragmatic environmentalists would say that we do need natural gas as kind of a bridge until we can get enough renewables built. But I think that the biggest reaction is to just the size of this plant and the fact that it's going to lock us into that 1,100 megawatts for the next 60 years.
The large utility companies stress that they have to have these fossil fuel plants to maintain the base load, that is the minimum level of demand for power with other sources used for additional power. How feasible is it for power companies to meet base load with renewable energy?
So meeting base load, I think, isn't the biggest concern. And this is one where natural gas and renewables actually work really well together. And so moving to a situation where you include both natural gas and renewables is helpful. Sure, natural gas can meet the base load. Generally speaking, we can also, whenever the wind is blowing or solar panels are producing power, we're going to want to use that. It's the cheapest power. There's no fuel cost associated with that. Natural gas can fill in the gaps along the way. And so that's one of the benefits, is that it can quickly ramp up in times when we're not producing enough from renewables.
And that's one of the things they do now when there's peak demand. They have what they call peaker plants, which are basically jet engines that turn a turbine. They're a little expensive to use, but why couldn't we have a series of those that we only use on occasion when the wind doesn't blow or the sun doesn't shine?
I think, quite honestly, it's just easier logistically to build a natural gas plant. If you want to retire 1,100 megawatts of coal with a single natural gas plant, you can do that all on one site. If you want to get 1,100 megawatts of renewables, we're talking about large landscapes where we need to put a turbine. A single wind turbine is 2 to 3 megawatts. So you're going to need 500 of those to get that same power.
I want to talk about that a little later because some people are not thrilled about so many turbines going up. But I've been told that Michigan is falling behind in the shift to renewable energy. And I know Minnesota has really embraced wind energy. How does Michigan compare to some of the other Midwestern states?
Michigan does not certainly have the same renewables that Minnesota or even Illinois have. They have much stronger renewable portfolio standards there. They've really made a faster transition. And honestly, our level of coal-fired production is still, it's come down in recent years, but it's not as quickly as some of the neighboring states.
So what is the disadvantage to Michigan? I mean, our electric rates are steady. We've got that base load taken care of. We're going to build these new gas-fired plants. We know we have stability there versus what could be the unknown. So what's the economic cost in the long run by relying so much on natural gas plants?
Part of the challenge is you don't know what's going to happen to the price of natural gas in the future. So right now, natural gas is cheap, but in order to keep that natural gas-fired power plant running for the next 50 years, you're going to have to buy fuel on a continual basis. And it's cheap now, but who knows what will happen in the future. So that's among the reasons that when you really look over the long term, renewables, they may be more expensive up front, but over the long haul, you know exactly what your fuel is going to cost, which is zero. And so that's one of the reasons that we're at a disadvantage. The other reason is that we may be able to meet the state's requirement for renewable energy. We may be able to keep the lights on, but we have a lot of companies and a lot of municipalities that have climate goals that want to see more renewable energy production. And so to meet customer demand, we need to put more renewables on the grid.
Some people have very positive reactions to wind energy. They view it as nearly magical windmills taking energy out of the air. Others, especially in areas where wind turbines are planned, have a much different reaction. They're worried about that big whooshing sound, which they say causes all kinds of problems. They're concerned about birds being killed, the marring of scenic vistas, especially if you're talking about offshore wind turbines. What are some of the other hurdles to more reliance on renewable energy?
Any power plant has its benefits and its drawbacks. Most people don't think that a natural gas-fired power plant is a beautiful creation, and it has certainly environmental impacts in the areas around it. One of the key challenges, though, for renewables is that their geographic footprint is just so much bigger. So, for example, let me give an example. The natural gas plant that DTE has proposed for East China Township in St. Clair County for 1,100 megawatts is about 100 acres that it takes up. DTE is also right now trying to get leases to build a wind farm in Branch County, which is by Coldwater in the south central side of the state. And they are looking to lease 40,000 acres of land. Now, to site 50 to 60 turbines, which would only be about 20% of the capacity of that natural gas plant on 100 acres. They're not using up that entire 40,000 acres. The wind turbine itself only takes up an acre or two. But they need this large expanse of land to have the wind turbines operate properly.
And let's be clear, they're not purchasing 40,000 acres. They're just leasing from a farmer and paying that farmer or whoever owns the land a fee each year.
Exactly. And so that's another place where renewable energy development is different than traditional coal fire or natural gas fire power plant. For the coal or natural gas plant, DTE is going to own that property. In a renewable plant, they often lease the land, which provides an added benefit for the members of that community because they're now getting an annual lease payment from DTE for leasing out that land.
We've seen solar being put up. In fact, some of the utilities are putting up some solar arrays. But the problem is, as you mentioned, they take up a lot of space. And one of my environmentalist friends suggested if everybody had a solar array on their rooftop, you wouldn't have to worry about it that much. How can that work? How can the utilities actually still make money if everybody has a solar array on their roof?
When you're talking about everybody's rooftop to have solar on it, you're losing some of the economies of scale that you get when you build a huge solar farm like you see outside of Lapeer.
Right. I was told it's something like $1.20 per square foot versus $3.50 per square foot, depending on whether it's a huge commercial operation or a local house operation.
Right. And again, it's the logistics of this. So making sure that the roof is structurally sound for this and that you're doing all of the interconnects. It's a lot easier if you're making utility scale projects. It's logistically easier and it's cheaper.
President Trump wants to bring back, as he calls it, beautiful, clean coal. You're involved in the National Surveys on Energy and Environment. What are American attitudes about fossil fuels like coal these days?
So most Americans are not in lockstep with the president's thinking on this. There is much more support for actually phasing out entirely coal-fired power plants than there is opposition to that. When you ask Americans, though, about clean coal, and that typically means carbon capture and sequestration, there is support for state governments, for example, to put money towards looking at carbon sequestration associated with clean coal technologies. We found, though, that that's not exactly what the president means by clean coal, that he's not, in fact, putting federal dollars towards carbon capture and sequestration. He thinks that there's some way that you can make the coal itself cleaner, which is not really what's meant by clean coal.
I'm wondering if there's been a trend toward embracing renewables and rejecting fossil fuels over time, or whether it's been staying the same.
So generally, the support for phasing out coal itself has been growing. this National Surveys on Energy and the Environment we've run for the last decade. And we have seen early on that there was less support for a phase out than we currently see. Support for renewables has also been growing, but there was high support to begin with for renewable energy. So there's just not much place to go if there's already strong support. And this is bipartisan support, too, for renewable energy. Even if you don't necessarily believe that the climate is changing, there's also support for renewables.
Sarah Mills is a senior project manager at the University of Michigan Center for Local, State, and Urban Policy. Hey, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.